This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Doug Kazarian of Only Players, formerly of ESPN, will join us. We will talk some NFL. Week 2 is in the books, almost, as we are recording this. Sunday night game being played right now. We got Monday night game tomorrow. I'll talk about that in a minute, but a wild day, a typical NFL Sunday where as soon as the games kick off, you're sitting there for a half hour, an hour, and you quickly realize, man, none of us really know anything about this league. And I think that was the theme of the day. If you're in one of these survivor pools, there's a good chance you're not in it anymore, because all of the good teams, and I think this is how I'd phrase it, this just might be one of those years where all the teams we think are elite or the contenders, there's just nobody that's that good, that's that dominant. When you look at the Cowboys losing, and I'll get to all these games in one form or fashion or another. Cowboys not just losing, but getting absolutely buried by the Saints, looked eerily similar to that Packer game in the playoffs last year. 49ers losing pretty convincingly to the Vikings, and that was only a 6-point final, but the Vikings were in control throughout. The Ravens blow a 10-point lead. Boy, the Ravens blow a lot of these. A 10-point lead at home to the Raiders, where they're a 9-10-point favorite. I think they closed the 9-point favorite. At home to the Raiders. You're up 10 in the fourth quarter. You can't put that game away. The Raiders beat the Ravens. And even the Chiefs should have lost. I hated the call at the end. I know it letter of the law, it's the right call, but that's a 4th-and-16 bailout. You just chuck it up and you give him the call, put him in field goal range. I hated that ending to that game. So I think that there's really at least a couple weeks in here. Now, maybe some of these teams will improve, take shape, and that's usually how the season goes, but at least a couple weeks in, it just might be one of those years where there's a lot of parity, and that's at least what it looks like so far. Some of these teams that I think are in trouble, Ravens are 0-2, and their next three games are at Dallas, home versus Buffalo, at the Bengals. I mean, that's, you kill for 2-3, you might be 0-5, chances are you're probably like 1-4 or something like that. The only thing is, Cleveland's only 1-1. Now, Pittsburgh's 2-0, but you probably don't look at Pittsburgh like, hey, we can't catch them. Although, look, at some point, you got to start respecting them. And I do feel like I was possibly wrong, because I think Fields gives them a running dimension with their defense. And who knows when we'll see Wilson, if we'll see Wilson, based on, you know, Fields just seems to be a good match with that defense. But if you're the Ravens, I think you're in some trouble. The Rams is a team that I think, look, sometimes these teams, they just, their season gets off track early and it never gets back on track. The Rams could be one of those teams because they got a million injuries on the offensive line. Kupp got hurt on Sunday. Puka Nacua is out for a couple of months. They're on 3rd, 4th string tackles, older quarterback. Last year was a year where I think a lot of people thought, hey, this could be a reset year for the Rams, maybe get a draft pick and, you know, get their quarterback of the future. They made the playoffs last year. And I think a lot of people figure they just duplicate that this year. This could be the reset year where, you know what, who knows how long Stafford can stay healthy behind that offensive line. They got buried 41-10 to Arizona. So some of these teams I do think in trouble. Rams, Jaguars with an awful, not an awful loss, but a bad loss at home to Cleveland, an awful loss last week to Miami, and they're quickly 0-2. They have a tough schedule, and when you couple that with the collapse last year of being 8-3, Peterson's a guy that could be in some early trouble. So those are a few teams that I think I would have some concern about. Colts with a terrible loss in Green Bay. You can't lose to that quarterback. Now they are 0-2. So that's the negative. A few of these teams on the other side of the coin that think are looking like they're going to be a little bit better than we might have thought. The Saints, 2-0. Again, give Aaron Schatz credit. He was on during the summer and said the Saints and the Patriots are two teams that he is much higher on than the market. He thinks they're wildly underrated. So far, so good, because the Saints are 2-0 and the Patriots are 1-1. And we're almost 2-0, and a lot of people thought they'd, you know, win one or two games all year. So good call by him. The Vikings. Now, Jefferson got hurt. Looks like he's going to be okay, but the Vikings have a legitimate roster. The only question was, hey, do they have a quarterback? Darnold bounced around. I'm not a believer. Wasn't a believer. I'm starting to believe at least a little bit that, hey, he could be competent. And with Jefferson, you know, Addison's hurt, Hawkins is hurt, but they have a good running back. They have a good offensive line. They've got some pieces on defense, and they've got a good coaching staff. So maybe Minnesota can sustain this and at least, you know, flirt with a division, be a wild card team around 9 wins. So Minnesota with a good performance against San Francisco. And again, they were up 20-7. Now I know they got a blocked punt, so that changes things here, but they were up 20-7 going in, about to make it 27-7. They fumble. Next thing you know, 49ers make it close, as those things tend to happen when you fumble like that going in. But Minnesota is able to hang on. They really move the ball up and down the field on San Francisco, got stops when they needed to, pressured Purdy. So Minnesota, a positive. The Saints, a positive. Chargers here at 2-0 are some of the teams. Now, the Chargers haven't beaten anybody, and my goodness, how awful is Carolina? I know, you know, we had people on this summer, and smart people too that thought Carolina better coaching staff. They can be improved. They are not improved. They are just as awful as they were last year. So that is a awful team. I don't know how that team wins, you know, more than two games. I know it's only week two, but hey, you play football like that. I don't know who you're beating. So Chargers 2-0, Vikings 2-0, Saints 2-0. As these teams start to take shape a little bit. Jets beat the Titans, a game they desperately needed. They were fortunate to, I wouldn't say fortunate to win, but definitely fortunate to cover. And I know that's as somebody who had Tennessee. The Titans gave away points early, Levis throwing the ball away. And hey, that's part of the handicap when you bet these bad teams, these bad quarterbacks, they're going to do bad quarterback things. And Levis just gave points away. Then the Titans had the Jets stop third and 15. They get an incompletion. They rough the passer. That leads to a touchdown. So the Jets, the Titans gave points away all over the place. But hey, if you're the Jets after the last year plus you've had, losing Rodgers for the year, the Monday night beating you took in San Francisco, you will take any win any way you can get it. And now you're home Thursday night against the Patriots, laying 6.5 Thursday night game. You got a chance here to catch your breath, hopefully go 2-1. Rodgers starts to get a little bit of his feet underneath him. And away you can go. Now, their defense has taken some hits. Mosley got hurt. Jermaine Johnson looked like he tore his Achilles. So maybe this Reddick deal gets done after all, where they come in, you know, to Reddick with hat in hand and say, hey, what do you need? Because they are not playing the dominant defense we'd expect them to play. I know it's 24-17, but the Titans moved the ball. The Titans left plays on the field. The Titans moved the ball. And this is not a great Titans, you know, offense that we're expecting here. And the Titans moved the ball more than you like if you're the Jets. So this is not this lockdown Jets defense we saw last year. So maybe the Jets can get Reddick back, the defensive lineman that's holding out, and figure something out, because that's just not, you know, they don't have the pass rush. They can't stop the run. They were getting gashed early in the game. They got killed against San Francisco. So Jets get a win. That's one they need to have, in a way they can go. That would have been a rough couple of days here for the Jets. 0-2. You know, Salah on the hot seat, that would have been an entire news cycle. You feel much better about yourself, obviously, at 1-1. Other games here, like I mentioned, the Lions upset against Tampa. I think that was the team I mentioned, but that goes with these other teams, Lions, the Cowboys, the Chiefs, who won. But all of these good teams either, you know, looked bad or got beat. Like I said, a lot of these teams got beat or should have gotten beat, like the Chiefs did. So good win for Tampa. Tampa's another team on the plus side that maybe people underrated. I think people looked at the division last year and said, hey, you know, fluky division. They won a bad division. It was kind of like winning the tallest midget contest. They seem to be at least semi for real, where Baker gives them enough. They've got some weapons, and you know, we'll keep an eye on Tampa in that division. And that division could be perhaps improved with them 2-0, the Saints 2-0, and we'll see if Atlanta can get their stuff together here on Monday night. Atlanta could quickly be two games behind all these teams. So again, it's early, but it's not like baseball where, hey, you're 0-2 and you don't even worry about it. 0-2 in football it's not as bad as it used to be with the 17th game, the seventh playoff spot, but 0-2 is still a hole. You don't want to be 0-2, and you definitely want to be 0-3. It's hard to dig out of these holes sometimes, and Falcons could put themselves in an early hole. Before I get to the Monday night game, what Sean Payton did on Sunday, and to me, he's a completely overrated coach to begin with. My goodness, he is down 13-0. In the fourth quarter, he kicks a field goal. He is down 10 with under 8 minutes to go. His side of the field, his ball, he punts like 4th-and-7. And then he scores with a minute change left. He has one timeout, and he kicks off after the field goal, knowing unless you get a turnover there, the onside kick's the only way you get the ball back. By the time you get the ball back, you're going to have 18 seconds, and you have to go 80 yards, and your offense stinks. Your quarterback stinks. It's like he couldn't do the math, or somebody told him, hey, you have more time. I don't know what that was. That was one of the stranger coach games, and he talks a lot. He talked about how good Knicks is going to be. You know, nobody knows how to coach the quarterbacks like I do. I wanted Mahomes. You'd think he won 6 Super Bowls. By the way, he talks. He won 1 Super Bowl, and it was because Brett Favre didn't run in 2009. Otherwise, he would have never made any of these Super Bowls. Granted, he had some bad beats and some other ones, but my goodness, what an awful performance from Knicks. What an awful performance from Payton, and that was just coaching malpractice, what he did on Sunday. Just a terrible performance. As I mentioned, the Steelers, look, they're going to be better than I thought because they got a good defense. Fields can run a little bit. You can't put Wilson back at quarterback because I just think that was a blessing in disguise here with Fields, because he can just give you a running dynamic. You can run the ball, keep the ball on the ground, keep the clock running, and get to your 13, 17, 18 points, whatever it is, and just hold down bad quarterbacks, and you're going to win a lot of games. Now, the quarterbacks are going to get better at some point, but you can win a lot of games with this style. And I just don't think, I don't see how they put Wilson back in. Fields can Fields is okay. He's not good, but he's okay. And he meshes well with this defense where there's just – it's a low bar for the quarterback play because the defense gives you so much and he can just run around and it's really a good fit. And who knows, 2-0, they get the Chargers this week. It could be 3-0, and it's more Mike Tomlin voodoo magic. Now, there's no upside. This team's not going to a Super Bowl, winning a Super Bowl. This is not a contender, but better than I think. Absolutely. This is a team I thought was going to win like, you know, maybe 5-6 games, maybe even less than that. And I was assuming Wilson was going to start, and I didn't think Fields would come in and be much better, but I have to admit, it's been better than I looked. And Tomlin, say what you want, he is a very good regular season coach. He hasn't done a lot in the playoffs in a very long time. And even when he had good teams, he didn't do much in the playoffs, but he is an outstanding regular season coach. So that is the football. We got a Monday night game, Falcons and Eagles. I will lay the points with Philly. I want no part of Cousins. He did not look mobile last week. He did not look like he had any juice on the ball. Him in Philly, primetime game, raucous crowd. I want no part of him. I know it's square, but I will lay the points here with Philly. So fun day of football. Fun day of football. Crazy day of football, really. It's just it's one of those typical NFL Sundays where, you know, none of us know anything. You throw all these games, you know, this game's a win, that game's a win. There are no sure wins in the NFL. It's an old saying that in any given Sunday, and that certainly proved to be the case this week, where a lot of upsets, a lot of money line parlays getting blown up. I'm sure the books had a very nice day on Sunday. So we will discuss this and more with Doug Kazarian. That is next. This is the Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More podcast. You can catch him onlyplayers.com. Right, remember him from ESPN. First time guest, long overdue. It is a great Doug Kazarian. Doug, what's up, man? Thanks for coming on. How'd your day go?
Good to be with you. It was another eventful day in week two of the NFL. I would say it was a friendly reminder that this is why the books have the highest limits on the NFL. And this is why the sharp money is sharp, because the public got massacred. Survivor leagues had some carnage as well. And, you know, you really got to just hold your nose and go with some of the ugly dogs sometimes, because they definitely were barking today.
Absolutely. I guess I'll just leave it up to you open-ended here. What's your biggest takeaway? Any team you feel differently now 2 weeks in that you did before the season?
Yeah, a little bit. I think the Steelers is probably because they've forced teams to play their way, and the offense is just enough. Like Fields, I was not a big fan of. I was not chugging the Kool-Aid like everyone was in Chicago off after a preseason of facing vanilla defenses. And then he's showed me a little something, and he's doing just enough. He's kind of like almost like Baker Mayfield was when he went to the Rams and then early on with the Bucks. Just don't try to be the hero. Just do what the defense gives you. And he's relied on his legs a little bit. And then obviously that defense is top notch. So I'm pleasantly surprised by the Steelers. Now, they haven't faced the toughest opponents, but that was a team I was not really buying going into the season at all. And now I think, you know, with elsewhere in the division, we thought this division was so tough. Cleveland's got its issues, right? Although a surprise win today. Cincinnati slow starting, all that. And then the Ravens have the offensive line issues that we really saw in the opener. So, heck, Steelers might be the team to beat. And they were considered long shot. But more importantly, my takeaway from a handicapping perspective was, you know, teams don't go undefeated. And it really is about effort and situational spots. And as soon as the league went to 18 weeks and one bye week in each conference, I thought, you know, it's not going to be load management like the NBA, but there is definitely a marathon, not a sprint. And we see teams much more, you know, want it more. I think like the Bucs is a great example today. You have the Lions coming off the big emotional win, Sunday night football, everyone's talking them up, and the Bucs trying to, you know, undo a playoff loss from a year ago. They were clearly more invested in that game.
Yeah, and I'm with you on Pittsburgh. I was down on them. I thought no quarterback, tough schedule. And that might still be the case. Maybe the schedule still gets them, but you never know how these schedules play out long-term. And maybe it was a blessing in disguise with Wilson, because I don't know how you put him back on the field and him, he gets a calf injury and, you know, he's a sitting duck back there. Granted, it didn't take a lot of offense to win these games. And it would have been the same style with Wilson, but he doesn't give you that running aspect anymore that Fields gives you. Fields is going to get a little bit of a leash here to play a little bit until he plays poorly and at least, you know, gives Tomlin something to think about. I don't know how you put Wilson back on the field as of now.
No, you can't. And look, I'm not in that locker room. I've never met Russell Wilson, but I can't imagine they like him that much. You know, like Fields is a much more likable guy and a locker room guy, whereas, you know, I think someone's tweeted it last week. Russell Wilson was in full pads and not active for the game. Someone said, like, there's nothing more Russell Wilson than that. So not to pick on the guy, because again, I've never met him. He's never done anything wrong. He's just a little bit of an oddball.
Yep. And you think about the average age for an NFL player, it's mid-20s, right? late 20s. Fields is a younger guy. Wilson's in his mid-30s. So there's probably a little bit of a disconnect there too. How about the teams off to bad starts? We'll throw the Bengals in there, and they got a tough call. I know it's probably the right call, but that, man, it was a tough ending for them. Ravens 0-2 with a tough schedule coming up. Jags 0-2 with a tough schedule coming up. Any of these teams that are off to slow starts that you're legitimately concerned about going forward?
I would say the Jaguars, because they've never done it. Like, the Bengals are now, 1-11 or something in weeks 1 and 2 in the Zach Taylor era. So in the first 2 weeks of the season, they've won once. But it's hard to knock them because they always figure it out by the end of the season. And today they obviously played really well. They just happened to be playing the Chiefs at Arrowhead. But they're a team that I'm not, like, punting on per se, because I understood their slow start. But I don't believe in some of these teams. I mean, even the Jets who won, they're not a contender to me. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is. He reminds me of the last season in Green Bay, not his MVP seasons late in his career. So they could get it done with defense. I'm just not sold on them. But the Jaguars, I think, you know, the AFC being as competitive as it is, like, there's legit concern. I think the Colts, like, I didn't expect much from them this season because I expect Anthony Richardson to get hurt the way he plays. So not really, there's not really a big adjustment in my head on them, even though they're 0-2. And, you know, the Raiders with the late comeback, I still don't think they're very good, but they're going to have games like that for sure.
How about the Rams being 0-2 and all beat up? I feel like sometimes these teams, your season gets off to a bad start and you can never get it quite back on track. I know McVay's a good coach and they've got, you know, basically a borderline Hall of Famer at quarterback. I just have the feeling with the Rams that, I don't know, this might get off track and never get back on track here.
I agree. I was big on the Cardinals today. It was one of my top plays, just because the cluster injuries, things like that. And that was an emotional game last week. I think we'll learn a lot more about the Rams if they ever get a little healthy. But they had the least margin for error of all these teams that were getting talked about for the postseason. And, you know, that they might have kind of spoiled that. But this was an ultimate, like, throwaway. I thought the line would be 3. I thought Cardinals are kind of tough at home. They're well coached. You know, they got some weapons. And then Kyler Murray's obviously can be a difference maker. And, again, the Rams, you saw it at the end of last week. I mean, the Lions just marched down the field in overtime. And you mentioned the injuries. That's a big factor. So I think the Rams had, you know, no margin for error, and they might have squandered that.
How about to the positive here? Vikings 2-0, impressive win. Really could have won by more. I know they got a blocked punt, but they were up, I think, 20-7, about to go in for a touchdown, make it 27-7, fumble. Game got a little dicey, but that was a legitimate win against San Francisco. Bucks now 2-0, with a nice win at Detroit, as you mentioned. Chargers 2-0, haven't beaten great teams, but any of these teams to the positive, they say, all right, I have to readjust my rankings, or this could actually be, you know, a playoff team that makes a deep run where I didn't expect that a couple weeks ago.
Well, I would say the Vikings to a certain extent, because I was open-minded with them. I said, you know, like, Sam Darnold's okay. I think they're well coached, and, you know, they can do enough that I said, let's hold judgment. You know, sometimes we often forget players are allowed to get better, right? That happens in the college football season. A guy who's really green, maybe a freshman starter, a quarterback. But Darnold's allowed to get better in his career. So it doesn't mean that he was completely wasted by the Jets and they had the wrong coach. It's like, no, he might have just gotten better and has a much more kind of quarterback-friendly coach now. And I think, you know, I was talking about Fields early. You know, maybe this is the right situation for him, where he is a game manager with legs and not asked to be the quarterback savior that the Bears – and the Chicago City needs. So I think guys can get better. I'm very, very pleasantly surprised with a guy like Baker Mayfield, right? You know, he went number one overall. Is he going to be the next Peyton Manning? No, but he's doing just enough, and he's within the right system, and he's had the right instruction, like I said, going back to McVay. So I think the Seahawks are also pretty decent. Not necessarily today's win, but last week's win. I mean, they're a team that's not going to be an easy out. I wouldn't be absolutely stunned if they won the division. I still think the Niners are going to be the rightful favorite in that division, because the Seahawks, I mean, look who they've played, right? Denver at home and then at New England. But they're doing things that you don't really see from a team that was expected to not be that good. So I'm open-minded with them as well. So the positives, I would say the Vikings, but I'm not really caught off guard. It's not that crazy. You know, if you look at the betting market too, like they were sharp money on Minnesota. Last year, they won that game on Monday night against San Francisco, and that was like Kirk Cousins' best game. And actually, Purdy played great in last year too. So I just knew, you know, we already saw them beat the Niners. I didn't think it was out of the question too this year.
Any awards futures that you've added or thought about adding after seeing today's games, you know, the games before? One that comes to my mind, it's not widely available. First coach fired. I think Doug Peterson, another loss or two. I don't know, you know, how long that lasts. I was actually thinking Salah too. Once the Titans get up 7-0, it could have been more. I was like, man, Salah might be into some trouble sooner than later. But I don't take it whatever direction you want to go. MVP, comeback player of the year, rookie of the year, or nothing jumps out to you.
These one-way markets, I'm kind of annoyed because the world has made it a big focal point. And so the books are making it sort of like the square thing, and they're like doing it tough, and you know, they're paying attention now instead of just, you know, putting these rogue things up there. I think Saleh should be the first coach fired. I don't think he's good. I don't think he's the answer. I don't think you win with him. I mean, it's just one of those things. He's never going to be the reason you win. And I just don't understand why these organizations just try to stick a square peg in a round hole, you know, in these kind of situations. It's like pretty clear they could have made the right move in the offseason. They could have got Belichick. I don't know why they wouldn't, but they will eventually regret that. I just don't know when. Now, is he the first coach fired? Maybe. I think you're right about Jacksonville. There's a little bit of disarray, but I think Peterson's got enough equity that he's going to pin it on, you know, their quarterback, or pin it on the defense, or do something. But you're right. Like, the expectations are there. He's just not delivering. You know, everyone was betting, you know, McDonald beginning of the year. I think people forget, like, the records and playoff. I mean, well, where was it? I forget which book, but someone had, after week one, Mayo is like plus 900. It's like, dude, like a non-playoff team's not going to go to the, you know, not going to be a coach of the year. So there's some silly numbers out there. I mean, there's laughable numbers out there. But I think the offensive rookie of the year is going to be really interesting. Jaden Daniels, it's now almost a coin flip at DraftKings. I'm looking, and I think he's going to have a better year than Caleb Williams just because of his offense and the way things are structured. And we'll see tonight. You know, we're taping this before Sunday Night Football, but I did not understand why Caleb Williams was such a favorite, like plus 135, and there was such a drop off to Jaden Daniels. Now this is what it should be. This is much more, you know, where I think the line should be now.
Anything on Monday Night Football? We got Eagles and the Falcons bouncing around 5.5, 6. Anything jump out to you, side total or props?
So I know sharp money came in on the dog, or at least a sharp guy I respect is on the dog. I would say it's hard for me to get Kirk Cousins' performance with the Vikings at the Eagles. I think it was week two as well, a couple years ago.
Yes.
Where they just had a bunch of picks and everything. So I'm just not in a rush to bet the underdog. But it's a lot of points to lay. I don't know if there's a hangover effect for coming back from Brazil or anything. It's just a weird game. And I think because of the field issues in Brazil, we don't really know like what those offenses are. I mean, Saquon Barkley went off, but how much, you know, is that predictive? So maybe a teaser leg, something like that. I don't see Atlanta winning that game, but Atlanta's got a lot of weapons and they're finally figuring out how to use those guys, which we did not see last year.
Yep, it was. It's actually the third year in a row Cousins has played on the road in Philly, week two. Last year, remember, it was the Thursday night game. Remember, Jefferson lost the ball out of bounds near the pylon. He actually played pretty well, but 2 years ago, it was a nightmare. They ate him alive, and yeah, Cousins did not look good in week one. Not mobile, can't do the play action. So, Philly off extra rest. I get it's a lot of points, but I probably only look towards Philly. Any props, or do you want to move on to next week?
Yeah, I didn't really dive into those props for that game. So, you know, we can move on to next week. I think there's some interesting matchups, and it's hard to look past Vegas as the survivor pick, right? With Carolina just looks completely awful.
How many wins does Carolina have? What's their adjusted over-under when these open up on, you know, Monday or Tuesday?
It's got to be 3.5 or 2.5. I mean, yeah, the market is stubborn, though. I like the word stubborn. Odds makers are stubborn. Books are stubborn, man. Like, they don't overreact. And sometimes, obviously, overreacting the wrong times is the kiss of death. But sometimes you can beat them to the punch a little bit if they're slow to move. I mean, you know, the White Sox this year, right? If you could have adjusted early and just realized how terrible they were, you could have made a lot of money. When there's really, really lone outlier situations, like historically bad teams, the books will still adjust. I mean, that 0-16 Browns team, you were only dogs like less than a touchdown every game, I swear. They were rarely double-digit dogs, and some sharps just kept betting
on
them.
I remember that.
There was money to be made. So maybe Carolina is that bad. Look, all of Panthers' fan base hated me for about 8 months because I wrote a piece on ESPN.com just doing their over-unders right after the draft. And I said Carolina downgraded from Sam Darnold to Bryce Young for his rookie year. And I was like, Bryce Young's not an NFL quarterback. He's undersized. He could do it in college because he was around a big, you know, they could move him around and they could put him behind a 5-star offensive line, but they all thought he was the savior, and he's not. He's just not an NFL quarterback, and one day they'll realize it. And, you know, maybe he gets benched this year. The problem is, though, you got the red rifle behind him, and I don't know if that's an answer either, but they got a lot of issues. So I'm asking you, is it just bad drafting? I mean, because it's not just quarterback. You know, there's bad quarterbacks that can play on decent teams. That team just looks inept.
Yeah, and Frank Reich is probably somewhere smiling, saying, hey, you pinned it all on me. My offense was prehistoric and everything was on me. Now it looks – and that was a sharp team this year. I know some sharp people, some sharp services that were on that team is like, hey, they could go over their win total, maybe surprise for a playoff spot. Canales is the answer, and it looks just as bad, if not worse, as last year. So I don't know how that team you can't play offense like that and win more than like a game or two. And here's the concerning thing about last year. Their two wins were at the buzzer where they didn't lead in the fourth quarter until the end. Kind of fluky win. So
that might be my favorite stat.
Yeah, it looks like another 2-win team. It really does.
They never held the lead during a game. That's remarkable. Yeah, I don't know. Look, I bet I have Bryce Young's season passing yards over because all he needed was like 200. And I just figured, like, the right quarterback, coach, and, you know, they're going to be trailing in every game. And, man, I don't know how you have 85 yards passing. I don't know how Caleb Williams last week had 93. I just don't know how in this league that is so pass-friendly, officiating and everything, you can't just throw a ball and get some yards. It's just mind-boggling.
Yep. And I guess the marquee game next week, Cowboys -1 against the Ravens. Ravens trying to avoid 0-3. We got Thursday night, Jets laying 6.5 to the Pats. Browns laying 7 to the Giants. Any of these jump out to you? Eagles laying 2.5 in New Orleans. Any of these jump out to you?
I mean, New Orleans right away. But, you know, you wonder about a flat spot. They got a huge win today. I hate their coach and I hate their quarterback. But something tells me that team's, like, pretty good, right? But things that jump out to me, I mean, again, I think you might just have to, our mutual friend Matt Humans calls me the betting bully, because when there's a bad team, I will just jump on it and do everything I can. So, like, why not put the Raiders in a bunch of teasers? Why not, you know, just go to town on this Carolina team until they figure it out? I don't think going to Vegas is the right answer. But I'll say this, and I said this ahead of the Lions-Bucks game. Young teams that are trying to get over the hump, so to speak, one of the hardest things to do in all sports is – win when you're expected to win and play with success and continue to come out. That's why I give the Chiefs so much credit. It's because they continue to pump out wins. I mean, even the Cowboys, 3 straight 12-win seasons, it's hard when everyone's getting your best shot to keep produce. And Detroit isn't quite a mature team enough to win and then the next week get up for another game. They were excellent last year off losses. I think they're like 7-0 going back to Dan Campbell's first year off a loss ATS. Like, They kind of feel themselves a little bit off a win, and then once they get hit in the mouth like today, they're usually a team that, because they have so much talent, like, they get up and they're like focused all week at practice. They're minding their P's and Q's. They got a little attitude adjustment with the loss today. So next week, you know, going to Arizona, I like Arizona. But I would love it if Detroit was off a win. I'd be taking the point there. So moving forward, so there's other teams off big wins. Can they do it? Like New Orleans. Minnesota at some point is going to lay an egg. I don't know if it's next week, but things like that. Teams playing with leads. So that Steelers-Chargers game is going to be really interesting. Both teams 2-0. Low total, 37.5, but I get it. That's the situational handicapping that you and I both, you know, obviously know about. That's what's really important in the NFL. Is which teams are mature and professional enough to get that done.
Last couple before we get you out of here. Did you have a problem with the pass interference in Chiefs Bengals?
Not really. I mean, I do, but I don't. It's like, that's what it is in the NFL. And that's where we, you know, I kind of expect these kind of silly things, right? There was one in the first half. I believe it was that game where they, things like that. It's just, there's always calls that just make this stuff, I think, annoying. Betting the NFL is annoying because it's hard enough to pick winners. But then when you're even on the right side, but then again, like I had the Lions last Sunday night minus the points and you get lucky in overtime. So you can't forget that those wins either. It's just what it is. It's what this league, I've kind of like, I wouldn't say I've lost my sports fandom, but my level, I'm much more even keel and I'm all business when it comes to this stuff. I kind of try to just take it all in stride and not celebrate, not get mad. Just, you know, it's just one of those things, you know, it's almost like Billy Matt or Happy Gilmore in the batting cage, just taking the balls off the chest. Like you just only the strong will survive. You just got to take it and weather it, weather the storm and keep going.
It's early, obviously, but it's 2 weeks of data of sample sizes. Is this just one of those years where there's no great team and the teams we think are good are going to look bad the next week? Is it shaping up to be one of those years in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think those teams that have been great per se have kind of bottomed out and hit a wall. I mean, look, any of like five plays went against the Niners in the Super Bowl, but they would have been one of those teams where it was wire to wire. They're awesome, blah, blah, blah. But the Ravens, I mean, coming off that kind of success and then flaming out again, they're in no rush to dominate the regular season again. So these teams have seen, you know, they truck teams and then they flame out. And so but it's also, you know, league of injury, the injuries matter way more, like offensive line injuries matter more than a running back, stuff like that. And you just got to be, you know, play amateur psychologist and pick the team that's going to be up for a game. I mean, obviously looking at the final results and we have the next day's newspaper, you know, certain outcomes of ATS make sense, right? Like the Bucks today I was talking about. So just fast forwarding that to next week, it's going to be interesting to see if there you can sort of take care of their business again, but that's a big win. But gosh, they're so much better than Denver. Like -6.5 in the Florida, you know, humidity is really a bet that I want, but it's just the worst spot like for them, right? Can they channel that success? Maybe they can, but man, like there's it. But to your point, the original question is, I don't think there's any dominant great teams. I don't think we're going to see a 9-0 start like we did Philly last year or whatever it was, 10-0, 11-0. I don't think we're going to see that at all. I think these teams are much more level, and I don't think there's dominant division champs. I mean, I was even talking Seattle's going to give San Francisco a run for its money.
Going to be hard to pick winners. It's going to be hard to it's going to make for a fun year. It's going to make for a challenging year, but that's why we love the NFL. We sit here for 18 Sundays and just pull our hair out when we do it again the next week. So Doug, I appreciate it, man. Let everyone know where they can find your stuff.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. So on social media at Doug Kazarian, both Instagram and Twitter mostly, but onlyplayers.com. You mentioned it. We're trying to be a little innovative with the betting space, not just content, but some other stuff, thinking outside the box. You know, I do Zoom calls with people and things like that, where I'm trying to, you know, people want to glean wisdom and they can do it obviously in content, conventional content platforms, but there's other ways to do it. So it's fun. And then we do 60 to 90 second videos on games. Hopefully I don't sound stupid once the game is over and you're like, wait a minute, that was 90 seconds of being on the wrong side. But no, it was fun. And we're continuing to think outside the box, like I said.
Doug, appreciate it, man. We'll have to do this again soon. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
All right, that'll do it. Thank you to Doug Kazarian. We will be back Wednesday. Rate, review, subscribe. See you Wednesday.